The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you for hanging out with me. We're going to have a fun time here over the next 43 minutes of talk time, almost 1 hour of radio time. We've got a good one today. We're going to be talking about what has driven these markets since Election Day, but more importantly, what in the heck's happened both geopolitically and economically over this time. And you kind of sit back and wonder, how did it really get to where it is? I mean, if you think about it, this is historic. It's the best one-year return after a presidential election since FDR was elected. It's the fourth best in history. So it's been a very historic run in the market. And obviously, people are excited about what they see on their 401ks and their investment statements. But we want to talk about, you know, the past. And then obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the future. Also, I'll give you my thoughts on this tax reform stuff that's coming up. Again, just knowing the math behind this thing and understanding the opportunity that you may have if this thing goes through. And then later on, we're going to have Wayne Thacker from my office on, who works with public employees. We have a retirement readiness class sponsored by Ivy Tech, Center for Lifelong Learning, that's actually going to take place early December, only $15 to come, and we're going to talk about that with Wayne. And also all the other great things that folks can learn in the retirement readiness class. Let's do a little bit of news of the week brought to you by the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. To learn more about Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com or just Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. All right, I mentioned the market, but hey, the S&P was up 16.9% year-to-date through the end of October. The index has been up 19 of the last 25 Novembers and 20 of the last 25 Decembers. So if you're a seasonality kind of investor, I really don't look for any big downturn here at the end of the year. That comes from buy the number research. This makes some sense to me. More and more renters. And back in 2009, there was a split between homeowners and renters. There were 75.3 million owners of homes, 36.1 million renters. In the United States, on September of 2017, there were 76.2 million owners, but 42.9 million renters. So what, 4, 6, 9, 7 more million renters than there were back in 2009? Why is that? Well, that's because we have a bunch of young people entering the workforce, and they need places to live, and they certainly aren't buying, they're renting. I know for a fact that when a person graduates high school, some of the coaching they get is that you're going to be in this job for 2 or 3 years, and then you're going to get another job, and you're going to get bonuses and stock options, you're going to move, and then you'll be in that job for another 2 or 3 years, you're going to move again, and you're going to get more money, more options, more this, more that. And by the fourth or maybe fifth move, that's when you finally seed in. So I can tell you that people are taught that, and if that's the case, why would you buy, right? You're going to rent. Janet Yellen, let's talk about her. Her four-year term as Fed chairperson expires, of course, in February of 18, and President Trump announced that Jerome Powell will replace Yellen as the Fed chairperson. But Yellen could, if she chooses, to stay on the Fed Board of Governors for 6 more years. That takes her all the way through 2024. So not a bad gig if you just want to stay employed. I found this very exciting. 68% of plan sponsors of defined contribution retirement plans, it's like 401ks, 403bs, are offering automatic enrollment for their new employees today. That's fantastic. Here's the thing. 100% need to offer it, and they need to enroll people at a much higher deferral rate. 3% isn't going to get it. And remember, people's tendencies is they won't change it if they are signed up for it. So why not sign them up for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% out of the gate? Make them opt out. or go in and change it manually. They don't do it. So why not do what you know they need to do for themselves since they're not going to do it? And it's mostly not because they don't want to. They just don't even know they're supposed to. This was kind of eye-opening for me. I get this from the Government Accountability Office. 34% of Americans that are over age 65 receive 90% or more of their annual income from, you guessed it, Social Security. And that's kind of scary as well. And then we have a couple final notes. The state's oldest employee honored for 55 years of work. This kind of dovetails in with our discussion about state employees here later. But Ogle Lake and Brown County State Park, they honored 100-year-old Bob Vollmer. Bob's been working for the agency of the surveyor of Division of Engineering for 55 years. He's 100 years old. So congratulations to Brother Bob. But that means he would have started when he was, what, 45? So, heck, what did Bob do before that? That's a great career. And then here, finally, this is just kind of funny. My wife and I were laughing about this. I saw it, I'm sure, in the USA Today. But they had, this has nothing to do with finance. Our ancestors were rats, fossils indicate. And it says, before we were apes, we were rats. And they go on to say, the animals are the ancestors of most mammals that live today, including creatures as diverse as blue whales and pygmy shrews, which I don't even know what that is. So I'm telling my wife this, and we're laughing about it, because how ridiculous is this? I mean, it's just not, I mean, golly. And she said, well, that explains why we have so many rats out there. So I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about what has driven this market since the election and where we go from here. We're going to spend some time talking about that. And then later on, my thoughts on tax reform and then retirement readiness classes that are being sponsored through Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning. We'll talk about that with Wayne Thacker and more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. You know, this market has been historic. They say that it is the best return after a presidential election since FDR took office, the fourth best in history of the market. And you think about this, and I, obviously, as we talk about some of the things like, you know, jobs and earnings and, you know, business and all that kind of stuff, you know, you kind of get it. But as you look back, I mean, it's been on a surge since Donald Trump's election year ago. Investors have attributed this sharp post-election rally to expectations that include tax cuts, infrastructure spending. Those were the big ones in the election. Deregulation, that would boost U.S. economic growth and corporate profits. But so far, as we know, up on Capitol Hill, that progress has been pretty darn slow. So we've had a recovery in earnings. We've had gradual increases in interest rates. The Dow, that's helped propel the Dow, industrial and other indices to one record after another. But when you go back and look from November 8th of last year, and it's hard to believe it's already been a year. I mean, golly, I can't tell you how fast time goes. And I'm always reminded by the quote that a popular comedian said on a late night show that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And I'm not quite to the end of my roll yet, I hope, but it's certainly going awfully fast. But when you go back, you kind of wonder, based on all this other stuff happening, how in the world did we get to where we are? I mean, this massive historic run. I mean, back on January 27th, there was a travel ban that was talked about. Now, obviously, that doesn't necessarily affect general corporate profits, but a lot of the people that thought a pure protectionist policy could hamper corporate profits, especially multinational companies. And then we had the health bill that didn't go anywhere. And, you know, that caused the market to go down only temporarily before it took back off. And then Emmanuel Macron's victory over the far-right candidate in France, that had some people concerned about the nationalist movement weakening the European Union, boosting the euro. That shot the market up. We had the James Comey firing back on May 9th. And, you know, all of these things aren't necessarily tied to economic issues, but anytime you have uncertainty of what's next, the markets typically don't like it. Well, once again, you know, it dropped and then boom, it took back off again. We saw the bond market and municipal market drop at the same time during that period of time. And people can always come up with reasons and
explanations of why things happen. And that's what they get paid to do. But sometimes, you know, I don't know, it just happens. But at the end of the day, it's strong earnings. I mean, back on July 26th, we really started getting lots of big U.S. companies, lots of them reporting really good earnings. And many say earnings are the main driver of stocks over time. I would agree with that. But when you have such broad-based success, I mean, that's going to start driving things up. But then, of course, back in between November of 16 and 17, we have seen volatility, you know, go way down, creep up a little bit, then way back down again. But we've had the threats from North Korea with the, what they call fire and fury, as the rhetoric between our two countries escalated, interrupting a period of calm in the markets for the most part. But it did send up a gauge of quick volatility, and then boom, it came back down. And then, of course, we had the debt deal that was signed. That caused the market to go up. No big worries about government shutdown. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve, September 20th, signaled it was penciling in one more interest rate increase for 2017, something that all of us had been skeptical about after a string of weak inflation readings. But signs that the Fed was on course helped push the U.S. government bond yields a little bit higher. And then, of course, tax overhaul. September 27th, investors were encouraged when President Trump and Republican leaders sketched out their long-awaited tax plan, with many saying they expect a cut in the corporate tax rate that would boost earnings, especially the smaller, domestically focused firms. And Rod and I talked about this morning as we were looking at some allocations, and we were talking about international, we were talking about domestic, and we're like, hey, you know, the Russell 2000, which tracks small companies, really hasn't done that great. But when that was announced on September 27th, there was a pretty big jump in the Russell 2000. And we think that if this goes through, that could be a place, even in an overheated general market, to park some money and maybe get some alpha or some excess returns. And of course, this is, you know, everyone seems to talk about the S&P and Dow, but my goodness, if you look at the NASDAQ, I mean, it notched its record, most records in a calendar year. The most recent gains followed the strong earnings reports from big companies that everyone knows, other firms as well. And the NASDAQ's outpaced the S&P and Dow, I mean, pretty much stomped it in its guts. So we've had a pretty interesting year, would you say, the least? And I don't know where we go from here, but certainly we're going to have to see fundamentals continue to underpin this thing. And I was talking yesterday with someone who said, man, you know, 20% for the rolling 12 months, that's great. I'm like, yeah, you know, what does the next year bring? Does it go up? Does it go down? Or does it go sideways? And that's really all that can happen. Well, if it goes sideways, that's fine. I mean, let's say it goes sideways for an entire year. Now your two-year average is 10% per year, right? If it went sideways for the next 2 years, I mean, you still have 20% over 3 years. I don't think anyone would necessarily sneeze at that. That's almost 7% a year. But I will say, when I've had a lot of meetings recently with portfolio managers, different investment companies, their economists, their managers are still kind of bullish on things going forward. And I'm not being predictive or trying to tell you where I think this thing is going to go next. But we, you know, we've had some volatility here right today on Thursday. I don't know what the market ended, but I noticed, you know, it was down as much as a couple hundred points on the Dow. So we're starting to see it, you know, a little bit of a fracture here and there. So like we talked about last week, you know, to my opinion, 2018, the rest of 2017 should be about protection, but with opportunity. I had someone in today, pretty new investor. I would have guessed them, they were very conservative. In fact, CDs is the only thing they've ever owned. And we talked about some different products that were out there and investment vehicles. And, you know, they're not stock people, and they don't necessarily need to make a bunch of money. They just wanted to be prudent. They wanted to put their money somewhere to make a little bit more than what they could make at the bank. Well, that's pretty easy. We can do that. But I talked to him about something that I've run across, and I began using as kind of a bond alternative, not for cash flow, but more just for stability. And, you know, you can talk to your financial advisor about this or give us a call and I can talk you through it offline. But you put your money in, and if the market, and you can pick which ones, the S&P, the Russell, or even the international index, if it goes up even a little bit, I mean 0.0000001, then you make a fixed interest payment. For the S&P 500, that's about 6.5% interest. If you are in the Russell, it could be as much as like 8 or 8.5%. International, I don't really remember, but it's all, you know, 5, 6 or better. And I think most of us believe that over the next 12 months, we're probably going to see a higher market than we have today. But how much? I mean, what if it's just a half a point? So anyway, there's things out there that you can do that are creative, that have been manufactured and created by the financial industry that are, you know, pretty cool. So, you know, don't just think you're stuck with a stock fund or a bond fund or a money market. There are lots of different alternatives out there. And when we come back, I was going to talk about tax reform next, but you know what? Let me take a break now. I'll come back and talk about tax reform, but later in the show, I have a little bit of time maybe to talk about some of these other types of investments, whether it would be real estate investment trust, business development corporations, structured notes, whatever it might be, that are just different. And in our industry, they're called alternatives. So I think that at some point, we're going to have to look to the alternative space because we're only going to get so much out of the equity side. Our interest rates are still historically low. So how do you get any real return or real yield? You're going to have to go to the foundation model or the endowment model and actually invest in things that are a little bit unique. So if I get a little time later on, we'll come back and talk more specifically about some of those types of things. But let's take a break. When we come back, a little bit of thought on tax reform and what I think a person needs to do to get ready to get ready. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, well, everyone, welcome back. Had a mouthful of water and a ice cube stuck in my crawl, as they say. So welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. You know, my thoughts on tax reform. Of course, we're going to hear more and more about this every single day. And while much can still change about the tax reform proposal that came out of the House just a few days ago, or a week ago, it's worth discussing the implication of what's currently on the table. Now, given this impending tax legislation, some have been putting they're planning on hold, including me, until we have a little more clarity, a little more certainty surrounding the actual amount of tax we're going to have to pay to do the things we want to do. So this all begs the question, does this tax reform proposal truly decrease the cost of getting more money from your taxable accounts to tax-free? Well, under the current proposal, a portion of the 15% tax bracket, that gets absorbed into the 25% bracket. That's good. I guess the 25% bracket gets extended all the way to $260,000. That's even better. Formerly, of course, in the realm of 28 to 33% brackets. So on the surface, it looks like there's no question that taxes will be saved. And I actually did a calculation of tax savings for a person this week on the speculation that something's going to happen. And based on, you know, a decent Roth conversion, we figured based on current tax law and proposed tax law that they would save $5,000 to $6,000 of tax by waiting until the new policy rolled out. And if that's great, because if you do that over 10 years, that's like $50,000 of additional tax savings. And of course, if it goes through in its current form, it'll be easier and much more cost effective just to do the planning in general. Now, more importantly, this bill would create, of course, more certainty in the planning process so that our clients and you can make asset shifting decisions with confidence, because this proposal would get approved under what's called the Budget Reconciliation Act. It would expire in 10 years, similar to the Bush tax cuts. That means that you would experience historically low tax rates for 10 years and know that the year and the day that those taxes will be going back up. And if you don't think they are, here's the thing. Maybe they don't, but I don't know how they can't at some point. But I'm just saying, talk about a window of opportunity. I mean, should this stuff go through, it's going to create a historic opportunity to do what you know you need to do to get where you know you want to be. Now, I have been beating this drum, right, for a long time, and I don't want to keep beating it and sound like some wacko, but I'm just saying that when you go back and you read about David Walker, and I encourage anyone to Google him and listen to his interviews, that, you know, back in 2011, he was on a radio program, and he made a grim, grim prediction about the country's fiscal path. He said, based on the fiscal path we're on, future tax rates would have to double or our country was going to go bankrupt. And of course, you know, everyone's like, well, this David Walker, who's that? Well, for 11 years, he served both under the Clinton and Bush administrations. He served as the Comptroller General of the United States of America, essentially the head of the Government Accountability Office, like the CPA of America. So the guy knows what he's talking about. And he says that you don't have to look any further than Social Security and Medicare and the interest on the debt to see what he's talking about. And that in a few years, it would take like 90-some cents of every dollar we brought in just to pay for those few things. So he says you have to run the entire government on 6 cents. And when you talk about the entire government, you're talking about things like, you know, the SEC, the DEA, the entire armed forces, I mean, everything. So this is where the math comes into play. And he says that the taxes would have to double to pay for the things we've already promised. Now, most people say, well, surely taxes could never double. Well, history tells us that they could. If you actually go back and look at the history of taxation in the United States over the last 100 years, tax rates in our country have been nothing short of a roller coaster ride. I mean, when the government first began dipping its toe in the waters of income taxation back in 1913, it seemed pretty harmless. In fact, the first federal tax rate was only 1%. That's not too bad, right? And most people didn't even pay it. But you fast forward today, and the marginal tax rate's a mere 39.6%. Now, that seems high to me, but when you look back on history, it's not. So you go back and you talk about, okay, if this isn't unchanged and that's not unchanged, that, you know, our highest tax bracket would end up being around 88%, according to David Walker. Now, most Americans never paid that super high tax rate that it got to in 1943 of 94%. And you had to earn more than $200,000 a year. Well, that's like $1.5 million today if you put normal inflation rates in. But a lot of folks are like, well, you know what? There actually are people that make $1.5 million in today's world. And even back then, there were people that made $200,000. And most of you would know him. You know, he is the actor turned politician, well-known President Ronald Reagan. I mean, Reagan would make $100,000 a movie, so he would only make two movies a year, because at the end of the day, if he made a third movie, he'd only get to keep 6 cents of every dollar that he made. So the history is there that taxes can go up. So I'm just saying that my thought is to get ready, because over the next 10 years, if this thing goes through, I would be putting a real strategy together to move taxable money forever to tax-free forever through Roth conversions and other strategies. And trust me, if this thing goes through, we are going to beat this drum until it's beat into everyone's head, and that you have the courage to pay the tax. That's what you have to do. You have to pay the tax. And just like I've been saying for years, we have made a deal with the government, and they say, hey, listen, you can put money away into this vehicle called an IRA or a 401k, and you don't have to pay any tax today. But when you pay it at the when you take it out, you're going to pay it at an unknown tax rate. So today we know what the tax rate is. We don't know what the tax rate is in the future. Who would do that? I mean, that's like saying, okay, just give me something now, and then when I give it back to you, I'll let you know how much I'm going to give you back. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. All right, I've just been bamboozled with a bunch of people in the studio, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, gosh, with all these guys, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but this is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You know, when you're in the studio and you're trying to have a good conversation with a lot of friends that are listening out there, either through the car radio or online at wgsoapradio.com, or trying to listen to the podcast over on iTunes or Google Play Music, and Doug Hughes and Wayne Thacker and Ryan Belcher all coming to the studio at one time, I felt like I was under attack. So now they're going to be on with me now. I'm actually joined by Ryan Belcher and Wayne Thacker, who work in our office over at Comprehensive Financial and also are specialists in the area of working with state employees. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, David. We had to bring some good-looking people in here.
That's right. We all have faces for radio. I just watched a video that was made about our office, and a promotional video, and I was watching it, and I thought, who is that old man that's sitting there talking about our company? And I realized it was me.
Oh,
it was me.
I thought you were going to say it was me.
I thought you were going to say it was Doug Hughes.
I think we'd all fit the script now. You know, guys, I wanted to have you on because we've had a long, long relationship with Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning. And over the past year, starting with Cook Incorporated, we credit them for this, and then moving on to other institutions, they are offering classes, they're sponsoring classes for different employer groups. And upcoming, and this is why I wanted you on, in December, the Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning is offering a two-day course on retirement readiness for Indiana public employees, part of the NPERS system. And it's going to include all kinds of great material. It's over two evenings.
2 days. It's 3 hours each evening, roughly, three-hour-ish.
Two and a half hours.
Two and a half hours.
We've got it down.
December 5th is the first class, and then we'll finish up that class on December 12th.
And enrollment's $15. They get two fantastic-looking textbooks, and you're going to go over all the NPERS, retirement rules and changes, calculating how to get the most out of your pension benefit, what to do with your annuity savings account, choosing the right survivor options. That's just on the state stuff, guys. I mean, we're going to be talking about all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, we'll do a very comprehensive overview of retirement in general, investments and retirement planning and income planning and all that stuff as well.
So we are the educators, is what you're saying. Doug and I will actually teach a portion of the class as we go in through life planning, retirement income and expenses, the roadblocks, income sources that you can expect from retirement, how to do retirement distribution strategies, investments, risk management, asset plan, estate planning, all of that in this class, $15. You can't beat it. And they can register how?
They can register by just going to our website, cfci.us, email us, and we'll send them a registration form, or we'll get them in touch with the right person at our office to register. And just in case there are some people that don't know, the NPERS system, this is for any teacher. This is for any public employee. This is the school bus driver, the cafeteria worker, anybody that is part of PERF or Teacher Retirement Fund or this NPERS system.
Ryan, you've been working with public employees for 8 years or more.
Ten years.
And I guess I'm always amazed that they don't understand their own retirement system.
Yeah, that, you know, public employees just have a lot of retirement pieces. And there's just a lot of confusion around it. So there's two parts to the NPERS system. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think that those two are the same thing or somehow combined, but they're really two different parts. And then they usually have some kind of retirement account through their employer on top of that. And it's just it can be very confusing. And during this class, you know, we'll go over retirement planning, but we'll be very specific on all those moving parts and how they work.
So not only are we taking a holistic approach in this class to retirement planning, in fact, it's called retirement planning today. Wayne, when you talk with people who have been to a class where you've spoke just on the parts of the NPERS system and the coordination of 401As and 403Bs and the ASAs and Social Security and outside investments, you get people to come back over and over and over because, my goodness, there's a lot there, and they can't get enough of this education. And it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and if you piece it all together just right, what we see is that public employee out there has really a great retirement if they've got any kind of longevity in their job.
So you have been teaching the Monroe County Schools, Franklin Community Schools, Monroe County Government. But again, it's one of these things where you have to reach out and engage that person. And a lot of people just simply don't take the time.
Well, I can tell you this. People want the information. So we engaged just a few people in our surrounding communities. We've only got room. We've got 50 spots available, and there's only a few spots left. So people that are not getting this information from us are actually not getting it anywhere. Are just begging for this stuff. The seats are filling up. We may even have to do a separate class once we get to the 50 because we're going to hit that soon.
So retirement readiness and education course for Indiana public employees, you know who you are, through the Center for Lifelong Learning over at Ivy Tech Continuing Education. Ivy Tech is there to ensure the educational experience. It's only $15. And which is a great cost and a great value.
And we're doing this at the Legacy Learning Center on South College, right next to our office, same building as our office. And for the $15, David, you're right. You can't beat this education. You're going to get so much more than just your NPERS benefit, but the estate planning and coordinating everything and
the investments.
If you're married, bring your spouse as well, because we'll go over a lot of stuff that could apply. Even if your spouse is not an NPERS member, we'll go over a lot of stuff that would apply to them as well.
again, for $15, bring a spouse, bring a friend. You can share the workbooks. It's over at the Legacy Learning Center. 5:30 to 8 o'clock is the time, December 5th and December 12th. So that's one class, folks. That's one class. So you would be there December 5th from 5:30 to 8, and then you would come back for part two on December 12th. And I know this time of year is busy, but it's a Tuesday night. I don't know of any office parties that are happening on Tuesday night, December 12th. I don't know of any family get-togethers that's happening on Tuesday night at 12 at on the 12th of December. So really no excuse. I know we wanted to get this done with Ivy Tech before the end of the year, guys, because there's a folks trying to make some really important decisions for this upcoming year.
Potentially this year, that's right. And to register again, David, they can just go to our website and contact us through the website at cfci.us or call the office 812-334-3190, and that will get you in touch with somebody that can get you registered.
So we are in the middle of a class. So here's the thing, folks. If you are part of an employer group, and whether it's, say, federal employees, state employees, or you work for a large employer like a Cook or Ivy Tech or the hospital or maybe the union, whoever, and you're interested in Ivy Tech sponsoring a class for your employer group, please let us know. We will make sure that we get with Curtis and the gang over at Ivy Tech and get one arranged. So already, Ivy Tech itself was so excited about this that they decided to sponsor one for their employees. When you're an Ivy Tech employee, you get to come to their classes for free. So Doug Hughes and I are in the middle of teaching that class. We finished our first one on Tuesday night of this week, and we will wrap up next Tuesday night. And I've had a nice quaint crowd, but it's been very, very good. And I think as the word spreads, those crowds are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So we have another one coming up, I believe, in February for the Board of Realtors. We're going to do one later next year for federal employees. So again, this thing's, you know, it's almost like be careful what you rope. Yeah. Because when I went to Ivy Tech and said, you know what, the best way to educate our community is to go engage them in their specific areas. And they were like, hey, that's a great idea. So we started this relationship of being in community engagement. And boy, is it taking off.
This stuff keeps us sharp, too, you know, because we've got to stay on top of this stuff to deliver that. And standing up in front of a group, you've got to be prepared. And things are changing all the time. It keeps you sharp.
We find that in this last class, all ages come, but we typically see the older people. Because I think about my own life and your guys' life. I mean, you're busy. You have two young kids at home. You have two kids at home. I have a 16-year-old at home. But you know, you have a busy world. So as a busy 40-something-year-old, you think, oh, gosh, I don't really want to go spend, you know, 2.5 hours and then 5 hours. Are you kidding me? I get that. I understand that. People that are empty nesters, they don't care. They want something to do. They're coming, and they know how important this is. And remember, I know that you spent more time than this spending time planning that spring break vacation. I just know you did. So why not spend this much time planning and learning about something that's very, very important, and that's your retirement readiness. So, guys, great job as always. So, again, folks, if you'd like to learn more about the class, if you're an Indiana public employee, email us over at cfci.us. We'll send you a registration form. You fill it out, you send your money in, and we'll confirm it before the class, and you'll be glad you did. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Doug Hughes is going to be joining me to talk about some year-end stuff. We have, let's see, benefits from these year-end to-dos. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. The Big Fundamental is in the house. Doug Hughes, everybody.
Yes.
Hey, that's my best Joe Smith.
I had to look twice to make sure Joe over there.
Miss Joe. I haven't seen him for a while. And my indication that Joe Smith was in the house when I would come in to do the radio show would be the smell of Old Spice.
That's right.
Joe is an Old Spice guy. Whenever you walk in and smelled Old Spice, you knew Joe was there. And Joe and I have known each other a long time. Joe used to cover my football games when I played at Edgewood 30 years ago. But you still don't talk to Joe until he talks to you. You just know if he's not in the mood to talk to you, just don't talk to Joe.
Just don't open the door.
Normally I'd walk in and he'd catch me out of the corner of his eye, and if he wanted to say hello, he would, and I knew he was in a good mood. But sometimes when they were working him like a dog, he wasn't much in a mood to talk to me or anybody else. So, miss you, Joe. Wish you a speedy recovery, and hopefully you'll be back on your feet soon. We'll be hearing you on the airway. Dougie, I've been talking about this lately that this is really the first generation, the baby boom generation, that's had to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their parents had pensions, had a Social Security, didn't rely much on their personal savings. The baby boomers, for the most part, have no pensions and have to rely solely on their personal savings and a shaky Social Security system. They got a late start because their parents weren't there to say, hey, you should do this right now. But I'm seeing the younger people, the millennials, the children of the Depression, I'm sorry, the children of the boomers, who are starting early, saving often, and I think it's because the parents are saying, hey, you got this job, sign up right now, 10%, and then at a 22, 23-year-old age, bam, they're putting as much as they possibly can in, and they're doing a really good job.
They are, David, and it's really amazing that transfer from one generation to the next, just the picking up of patterns, you know, and boy, hats off to all the parents who are out there really talking to their kids about making sure they're enrolled right away, making sure they have their life insurance is covered, their deductions are going well, they know what's going on with all the different types of insurances, but mainly getting that 10% at least going into those retirement plans at work or opening the Roth IRAs and things like that. So important, but it's really great to see these numbers with the millennials coming along. Yeah,
and folks, again, like I said last week, when you see that the savings rate has dropped, that doesn't include money going into the 401ks. We're seeing some outstanding savings headed into the 401k plans. So, Doug, we're getting close to the end of the year, believe it or not. It's been almost, it has been a year since the election. I talked about that earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But as we approach the end of the year, we want to encourage people to the to-dos at the end of the year. I always tell people, top off those health savings accounts. Make sure you use all of your FSA savings, because if you don't use it, you lose it. Go out and buy some eyeglasses or something like that. Use this time to go in and update beneficiary designations while you're also maxing out your 401k. Some people get year-end bonuses, and if you're going to get a year-end bonus, you should take that money and plow it into the 401k. Don't go out and, you know, spend it all on Christmas time things. You know, consider a Roth conversion here at the end of the year. I mean, I know we've had some big gains, and I know we're waiting on tax reform, but you know, you never know what might actually go through and could be retroactive. So even though I've been a little bit hesitant to do any major tax planning until the tax code changes or the rules change, the brackets change, you can always do a Roth conversion. Because don't forget that if you decide that, oh, I could have gotten a better deal, or maybe I shouldn't have done it, or I had some unintended consequence, you can do a recharacterization up until October of next year. So don't be afraid to do a Roth conversion if you're tempted to do one. This is a great time of year, obviously. If you need to get donations into charity, get them in, including your qualified charitable distributions. Remember, if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you can give money directly to a charity. It is not included in your taxable income, and it also, that whatever you give, goes towards satisfying your required minimum distribution. And Doug, a big one that people need to do and consider is a 529 savings plan.
What a great opportunity. And the state of Indiana, as we know, has this great tax credit that happens if you make contributions.
Credit, not deduction.
20% up to $5,000, which, David, is, to do the simple math, a $1,000 tax credit.
Is
not
there anything
deduction
that we can invest in that can assure a person 20% on their money?
No.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. That's
so you put five in, get $1,000 back. It's a good deal. I have grandparents who do it for grandkids. They get their own tax credit. We also have, I've had many people open them up even when they don't have kids, right?
Sure.
Because you can be your own beneficiary for 529, and then later on, once you've had children, switch the beneficiary.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Some good opportunities there. And we always say with the college plans, the other thing about that is you really need to make sure that that's going to be for college, because, as you know, the withdrawals on that can be kind of sticky if it's not for college expenses. But this is a great instrument. It also allows people to plan for one of the most important things. David, we always say to people, there's really three things people want to do. They want to pay off their debts, get their kids through college, and be able to retire. And so paying close attention to College 529, maxing out by the end of the year, is a great opportunity, and it helps with the taxes.
One last thing I want to tell people that they can do is reset your cost basis. If you have any carry forward losses from any old things that you've done in the past, and you've been chucking them away at $3,000 a year, and you have appreciation on a stock, sell it, use up those losses, and then rebuy your security if you want to. There are no wash sale rules on gains. So I just had a person who owned a stock a long time and had actually taken a loss on something else, and they were able to sell a stock that had a bunch of gain, not pay the tax, offset with the old losses, and then turn around, rebuy it immediately, and resetting that cost basis. So now later on down the road, when they do decide to sell it or liquidate it for other reasons, it's not as big of a tax bite when it happens. All right, we got to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to wrap up the show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Just a few minutes left in the program. I hope you enjoyed it. I mean, I always do, but, you know, it's just me, right? So I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad for all of you who listen on Thursday nights. I love when you listen on Saturday mornings. I love the internet opportunity with WGCLradio.com. I like the iTunes. If you go there to the app store, you can type in Your Money with David Hayes and a not-so-flattering picture comes up, but then you can subscribe or listen to them on the podcast, download it, and you can listen on your Bluetooth in your car, Google Play Music as well. So, Doug, appreciate you being on. And also, absolutely, again, it's Medicare open enrollment period still, so we want to encourage people, if you're anxious about it or want to make a decision, we have someone they can contact.
Absolutely. Josh Norris in our office is doing a great job. I heard him actually present for about a minute today in a different setting, gave a 60-second. And just a little quick tidbit about understanding the drug benefit. And, you know, one of the things that he highlights is people, it's just like everything else. You don't know what you don't know. And this is an area where people, if they need some guidance or want some tips, give us a call, 812-334-3190.
We'll email at cfci.us and we'll put you in touch with our man, Josh. I was talking with a person, a client that lives in Texas, and hope you're listening, because she says she listens almost every week on the podcast.
Great.
And she was asking me questions about Medicare, and I was talking about Medicare Part A and Part B and the supplements. She asked me a couple questions. I said, you know what? I've actually forgotten that because I have Josh now.
Yeah.
And just, it's like anything else, when you have someone else you can lean on, why do you have to remember it, right? I have a resource now.
Exactly,
so again,
right,
if you're confused, if you need a little help on picking the right plan, or you want to shop around, shoot us an email over at cfci.us and we'll connect you with Josh. And don't forget, if you are a state employee and you're interested in attending the Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning's two-day course on retirement readiness for Indiana public employees, please email us at cfci.us. We'll send you a registration form, and then we'll get you going from there. It's only $15 to come. And not only are you going to learn about all the in-purse stuff, but you're also going to learn about investments, estate planning, risk management, retirement plan distributions, all kinds of stuff and more. Doug, it's a great opportunity at a very low cost. And remember, don't be one of those people that spend more time planning their vacations than planning their retirement. That's been it, guys. We'll talk to you again next week. This has been Your Money with David Hayes. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.